Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. That's the last verse from Psalm 19, which we read earlier, praising the awesomeness of God's creation and his law. Here's a reminder of verses 7 to 11 about the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, dripping from the honeycomb. By them also is thy servant taught, and in keeping them there is great reward. This leads nicely on to our reading from Exodus, the Ten Commandments, a convenient list of rules the people were to live by, a summary of God's law. God started off by reminding Moses that he was the God who brought the people out of Egypt, where they were slaves. I think this is important because it provides context. If I am supposed to obey rules, I want to know who is insisting on that and why. Maybe my parents or teachers when I was young. Why? Because I was a child and they were adults who wanted the best for me. Of course, that isn't always the case with adults, but ideally that is the reason for rules. For all of us, to respect each other and keep one another safe. Growing up, I was much more likely to obey something my parents, who looked after me, had taught me than a rule from a stranger. On a good day, anyway. So God looked after the people, bringing them out of Egypt, showing that he was taking care of them. Next, he talked about the people's relationship with him, that they should worship him alone. To me, this is about more than a jealous God. If you worship God rather than idols, which could include many things nowadays, such as fame, money, or status, you will be a kinder, more loving person because your faith in God will make that happen automatically. And God's love will shine out of you and onto everyone you meet. This kind of wholehearted worship involves how you live your life, not just what you do in church on a Sunday. And this leads neatly on to the next commandment about the Sabbath. It's not only about worship, it's a chance for everyone to have a rest. Except perhaps your preacher and those involved in church services. God specified that no one must work on the Sabbath, including slaves, children, animals, and people from other places. Everyone should rest, not just a chosen few. We all need that in order to function properly. No one can work constantly without breaks. Even God rested on the seventh day. So he gave that as a pattern for his people to follow. Now the rules about how to treat one another, honouring and respecting our parents or relatives, which includes looking after them when they are elderly, not murdering or stealing or committing adultery, and not desiring things that belong to others. There's so much here about how to relate to our neighbour, because God knew that In order for a community to be able to function, there must be rules that everyone accepts and understands. Such rules can seem quite restrictive, but what happens if there are no rules? How do people know how to treat one another and keep each other safe? If we have a framework like this, the hope is that not only will I stick to the rules, but so will others who I meet and interact with. And we can trust each other to do that. So I won't feel the need to steal or desire something that belongs to my neighbour. And in return, he or she won't do that to me. As well as trusting one another, it's about trusting God to provide the things we need. That's why it was so important that he reminded Moses that he was the God who brought the people out of Egypt, to show that he wanted the best for them and had provided for them over and over again. It's so much easier to obey rules from someone who loves and cares for you, who you love and respect. When preparing today's service, I was reminded of 2020. It was so confusing because the normal rules for daily living kept changing. Suddenly, you weren't supposed to shake hands anymore, although most of us would normally do this when meeting someone new. We had to keep our distance and stop going to church buildings for a while. And when we did come back, those in charge had so many new regulations to remember and enforce. And I certainly felt I had to listen to the news at least once a day to make sure there weren't any new laws I needed to obey and understand. I didn't want to break them by accident. Some people don't like rules, but for others it's a relief to know what is and is not acceptable. When that keeps changing from day to day, it can be very stressful. So by giving the Ten Commandments, God gave the people a framework to live by so that they could respect and love him and one another, and we can do the same. I wonder how different a similar set of commandments would look today. The gospel reading can be rather confusing, especially coming as it does on the same day as the Ten Commandments in our lectionary. In the other gospels, Jesus is criticizing the temple practices, calling it a den of thieves, but here he tells the traders to stop making his father's house into a marketplace. In order for the temple to function, they needed money changers so people could pay the temple tax, and animal sellers so people could make sacrifices according to the law. People were preparing for Passover and doing all the things they were supposed to, as far as they were concerned. What if we were preparing the church for Easter and someone came in and started dismantling things and chasing people out? I think we'd be rather indignant. When the Jewish authorities asked Jesus what miracle he could perform to show he had the right to drive people out and turn the tables over, he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." They didn't realise he was talking about the temple of his body, although of course that's also miraculous. He thought they were talking about the temple where they were standing. So understandably were quite sceptical, since the temple had taken 46 years to build. So what can we take from this reading today? If the body of Jesus is the temple, where God is present, then wherever he is, we can worship. Not just in church, but at home, at work, anywhere. We come to church each Sunday to worship God through prayers, hymns, readings, and sermons. But none of that means anything if we don't show that we are God's people in our daily lives by honouring, respecting and taking care of one another, sharing the love God has given to us with everyone we meet, and being content with what God has given us and not taking more than we need.